What the trader held over Hastings was far too dangerous. If their activities were discovered, an Arab could wriggle out of what hung over them both, but Hastings could not. And Majidi knew it. As an Englishman, Hastings was liable to rot in jail forever if their crime were discovered. Hastings squeezed his glass with both hands and leaned forward. "I think, under the circumstances, that I need to leave off hunting for the time being." He was whispering, though he did not know why. "I think the opposite," Majidi said. "A trip to the hinterlands to hunt ivory could be very helpful to us at this time, and the distraction of the Grand Mufti's visit is the right circumstance for our venture to continue."
"How will we proceed without Joseph?"
"I have a substitute on his way from Zanzibar, and I have a buyer ready."
Hastings drained his glass and rose. The whiskey had not warmed or comforted him. "Very well, then. I will get ready to hunt. Our terms will be the same."
"I had thought to be more generous with you," Majidi said. 60-40 instead of 70-30.
The concession surprised and puzzled Hastings. The Arab was not one to give if he did not have to.
"You are surprised at my generosity," Majidi said. "Do not be. You are my best procurer. Without you, my latest expedition did not meet my buyer's needs. You know as well as I that since you British came into the territory, it has been nearly impossible for anyone but a Brit to make any headway. Your countrymen issue ivory permits only to their own kind. All the elephant hunters are Europeans now. You are the one I know well enough to trust. I want to deal with you."
Hastings heard the message beneath Majidi's words. He wanted to work with Hastings because he could not as easily control anyone else he might bring into his business, and the canny trader knew better than to squeeze a man too hard. The extra 10% would relieve Hastings of some of his money troubles, but it was not enough to free him completely. The Arab was a clever bastard, but a bastard nonetheless. As Majidi rose, Hastings shook his hand to seal the deal. "When does your new Major Domo arrive?"
"He is on his way by dhow. If the winds are good, he should be here in 2 days.
"I had better get busy with the planning, then. I will come tomorrow with a list of what I will require by way of men and supplies." Later in his room at the club, Hastings' fingers froze while undoing his shirt buttons. A chill flashed on the skin of his back. That canny old thief expected him to be grateful for the extra 10%. But he never gave a gift without expecting something in return. What price would he extract? And what danger would it bring?